Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about a regional stewardship gathering coming up. Father Chuck Simple and Melinda North join us for that conversation. Hope you will stick around for it. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Emily Leadham with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man Adam had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman who you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, and so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel." The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, therefore I spoke," we too believe and therefore we speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow from the glory of God. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if our earthly dwelling, a tent, should be destroyed, we have a building from God, a dwelling not made with hands, eternal in heaven. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, seven Benedictine sisters from Mother of God Monastery in Watertown will be celebrating their jubilees of profession this summer. Sister Mona Kerwin, Sister Muriel Spartz, and Sister Caroline Wolfe will celebrate their 70th jubilees on July 29th. Each of those sisters are founding members of Mother of God Monastery. Sister Adrienne Kaufman will celebrate her 60th jubilee, as will Sister Sandra Meek. And Sister Rose Palm will also celebrate her 60th jubilee. All three of those sisters are also founding members of the Mother of God Monastery. And finally, Sister Marva Jean Hockelman will celebrate her 25th jubilee this weekend. In earlier years, Sister Marva was an elementary school teacher and bookkeeper. You can read and see more about the jubilees in the June edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, there are an estimated 427,000 Hispanic Catholics in Michigan and Ohio, and every single one needs to be accompanied in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How to achieve such a goal was the primary focus for priests, religious, and lay leaders from 11 dioceses who met at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit recently for the Region 6 meeting of a gathering of the church leaders to discuss how better to minister to the region's Hispanic population. Topics at that meeting covered issues from the need to evangelize Hispanic neighborhoods and encourage more vocations to making parishes more inclusive by encouraging Hispanic participation and speaking out for the rights of migrants. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops announced this week that the official World Youth Day Cross and Marian icon will make a tour of the United States August 19th through the 27th. Panama Archbishop Jose Domingo Mendieta decided to extend the Latin American tour of the cross and icon to include stops in the United States. Panama will host the 16th World Youth Day, January 22nd through the 27th. It'll be the first Central American nation to host the massive event, which will include a music festival, dozens of seminars for youth, and an expected four-day visit by Pope Francis. Catholic social teaching might be an antidote to the coarsening and polarized national political discourse, but first people will have to return to respect for essential institutions such as the church and the government. That was one of the conclusions of a recent panel discussion this week at Georgetown University for a conference convened by the university's initiative on Catholic social thought and public life, along with other organizations. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Charles Simple and Melinda North. We're going to talk about stewardship today. Father Chuck is the pastor at Holy Spirit. Melinda is the director of the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal for the Diocese of Sioux Falls and, of course, connected to the Catholic Community Foundation as well. We have a wonderful event coming up in our diocese. As far as I know, Melinda, the first time that we've ever been a host of something like this.
You're exactly right. The event is actually the Region 8 Stewardship Conference. It's held every year, typically up in the cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis area. But we put the offer out there and said, we'd really like to get this to our rural parishes. Can we host it in Sioux Falls one year? And they said, absolutely. So what the Region 8 is the diocese in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. So 10 dioceses are invited and will be coming to this event in July, on July 26th and 27th. And we're super excited because we have a couple of parishes in our diocese who are going strong with the stewardship mentality, and a couple that really want to get going on it. So we're hoping that it will draw people in from those dioceses that are very active in stewardship programs that we can learn from, engage with, and network with.
So if you're listening this morning, pay attention, because this has application to you, whoever is hearing this. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Any parishioner.
You know, we have designed it as such. We have a great planning committee that's comprised of lay leaders, of priests, and then also development people in each of the dioceses who work directly with the parishes. So we've got tracks for the presbyterate, and we've got tracks for the lay people, and we've got a track for staff of a parish too, or volunteers that work at the parishes.
So Father Chuck, as a pastor, what's the value for you in something like this?
Well, just a little bit to why it got started too. And a little less than a year ago, we were in the International Stewardship Convention. Melinda was there from the diocese, and And I, when I took over Holy Spirit, Monsignor Andrasco was kind of the guru of stewardship in the whole diocese. He would go around to other parishes and help parishes get started in stewardship. And so wanted to kind of reinvigorate that, and we did. And we were there, and there were people from these various other dioceses in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And we kind of met in the hallway and said, hey, let's try it in Sioux Falls. And I think for Melinda said, we're really hoping, I think, to get not only parishes that are in the city of Sioux Falls or Aberdeen or Watertown or Yankton or Pier, but we want to do the smaller parishes too, because that's really vital to keep them going. And as you know, a lot of times people associate stewardship right away, money. That's really not the emphasis. It's how we as, and really now the word they're using more at these meetings is discipleship, which our diocese is using too. It's more how we're going to be disciples. And then as disciples, how we use our time, dedicating some of it to our service, and then also our various talents that we have, how we use those. So money is really kind of on the back burner of the whole thing.
I really like what you just said there. I want you to say a little bit more about that. It, in a sense, stewardship comes later. First of all, we have to understand that our role as a disciple. Is that the right way to think about it?
Right, and I think that's what the emphasis is really turning to in the whole kind of like the international scene too at stewardship. They really are using more of the word discipleship and being intentional in our discipleship. So we're just not just going to church, and which is a good thing, but what does church draw us to do? Rather than just being inward, how can we be outward in our expression of our faith to bring other disciples in too? So, yes, that's a very important part of it.
So, as a pastor, how does that help you? As you talk to your brother pastors, how do you describe how this is a help?
Well, I think, you know, it's in our Catholic tradition especially. It's not that long ago. I've, you know, been a priest for 40 years, but when I started, there were still quite a few of our ministries done by priests and sisters, whether that be in our Catholic schools or even in our parishes. Now with lay staffs and things, which is wonderful, it's just that we know that we need people involved to really outreach and also do things within the church. So it's important that, and especially we're emphasizing in our parish, and I think all parishes, there's always a concern anytime you meet with people that have kids, how are we going to keep them involved in the church, and how are we going to keep them going to church, but also active? And sometimes we've kind of taken it for granted rather than trying to challenge our youth to say, what can they do to be disciples, boys and girls, men and women? And also, as Melinda said too, we want to also remember those parishes that don't really have big staffs, but still how they can get their volunteers and people and younger people that are still in those rural communities involved so they feel part of the church.
Yeah, Melinda, I think that's a real unique aspect of this is the way that you don't have to be a paid staff member. You can be a volunteer and really find value in this.
A majority of our parishes out in the Diocese of Sioux Falls alone have volunteer staff or part-time staff. Mm-hmm. And I think the beauty of this conference, you know, like Father was saying, a lot of the conversation now and the movement, if you will, has really been focused around the prayer life. We can't know what God's calling us to do and to respond unless we sit with Him and we have a relationship with Him. So stewardship, at the heart of it, you know, we're kind of coming back to that basic stuff of you need to commit to your relationship with Jesus and sit in prayer with Him. So, you know, part of it, the conference is really designed around your prayer life. And how do you, when you're busy, you know, praying like a mom, praying like a dad, praying, you know, how do you incorporate Jesus into your everyday life? So there's a part of the conference that will focus on that. And there's a part of the conference that will focus on how do we communicate with the people from our parishes? What's, you know, millennial, not only millennials, but the older generation and people who are super busy. I think our parishes struggle more often than not of How do I make sure they're getting the message? Mm-hmm. Are they reading it on paper? Are they reading it in email? Are they seeing their text messages or Facebook posts? You know, there's so many ways to communicate with people now. And
radio. You forgot radio.
And radio. Oh. I'm sorry, radio. Absolutely. But I think what we're learning, too, is our priests can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And the staff can't do it alone. And we as family have to continue to build and work on all of that aspect and be open to God's call and how he's asking us to grow and expand.
I know a conference like this isn't a fix, but even having the conversation, I would imagine Father Chuck has to help. I mean, the more people hear about this, the more it becomes part of their consciousness.
Yes, and you know, Melinda will probably go through, we got some really exciting speakers coming in that we think are not only on the U.S. scene, but really in the international stewardship coming to Sioux Falls, that'll be exciting to listen to them because, yes, they can't. They're not here to fix everything. But I think, you know, like any time we go to a retreat or a convention, it's that excitement extends beyond those days because we just want to get it, share the message with other people. And that helps them when you get a few others. I was amazed at our parish when I just reenacted the stewardship committee. I just put a little thing in the bulletin. I had 25 people that said, we want to be part of that.
Wow.
And they've been meeting monthly, and a lot of them have helped Melinda arrange this convention and that we're having in Sioux Falls because they're excited about it. And it really didn't take me to beat the bushes saying, I get this. I just opened it up and said, who'd like to do this? And that was the response.
Well, that's encouraging.
Which is awesome, isn't
it? That's really
encouraging.
You know,
how often do we say you really have to pick up the phone and call somebody, but you know God is working in the people when you have a response like that. And we are really excited about our speakers that are coming. We have three bishops that are going to be part of this event, which is a huge blessing. Bishop Swain, our very own Bishop Swain, is going to kick off the event with Mass. And then we have Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Bishop Bob, as he calls himself, or Robert Murnau, is going to be doing the keynote kickoff speech. And he is going to talk about really the spirituality of stewardship. And Bishop Murnau has done many papers, many conferences and presentations. So we're really looking forward to him sharing his message. We have a speaker coming from Florida who works directly with the millennials and has a direct conference session about engaging the millennials in your parish. And I think so often we find that they kind of float and do their thing. And Daryl is his name. He's going to be coming and talking about how to engage them and incorporate them into your parish life. And then we are wrapping up. We have a lot of different sessions throughout the day, but then we wrap up with our very own Bishop Kettler, who is the Bishop of the Diocese of St. Cloud, who will be wrapping up the event and talking specifically about having a vibrant stewardship life in rural parishes. And who better to do that than Bishop Kettler? So we're really looking forward to the event. And, you know, we didn't talk about the location. It's going to be at St. Michael Parish here in Sioux Falls. They have a great setup with the school and the parish life and all of that. So we're going to be meeting there. And it's on July 26th and 27th. Because we have so many people coming from out of town, we're doing half days. Mm-hmm. So check out the website for the schedule. We don't start on Thursday, the 26th, until 11, and then we'll end on Friday by 2 o'clock. So travel
time for everybody. And from pretty much throughout the region, you can do that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And have only one night
of overnight accommodations.
So trying to make it as accessible as possible to as many as possible. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. And the registration fee, we've kept it very low. It's $30 per person for both days. But if that is a challenge for you, please don't let that stop you. Give us a call. We will work with you. We've gotten a grant from the Catholic Community Foundation. We have a number of vendors who are sponsoring the event. So don't let the registration fee hold you back.
Is it smart to work through your parish on something like this, Father Chuck, or can you register directly? Does it matter?
Either way, we would take it. Of course, a lot directly. It helps, you know, just to keep it on the website or just getting it through the information that your pastor might have, but we'll take them, the registrations, any way we can get them.
Yeah. And say a word, because you know both of these guys pretty well, the three bishops, obviously, but yeah. The two from away. I know Bishop Morneau has been here multiple times in the past as a speaker.
He has, and what was so exciting about getting him, he's getting a little bit older, but we heard him last September in Atlanta, and he was just so alive yet and just so enthused. He was on the committee that wrote the original document on stewardship for the Catholic bishops 25 years ago. So it's totally in his blood and in his life, and they gave him the international award in September for all the work he's done in this field. So he's coming here is just a really big thing for us and to have him here. And, of course, Bishop Kettler, too, who's worked in way up in Alaska, where he's had lots of challenges with parishes spread so far apart and a lot of lay leadership, and also in St. Cloud. So we're very excited to have both of them, along with our own bishop.
And, of course, Bishop Kettler, a priest of this diocese originally, he knows us. Nice to have somebody who I think can relate to us so well.
Yes.
And the whole region now, mm-hmm. since this is a regional regional event. Melinda, a little more on the mechanics in terms of the registration. Is it best to go to the website or?
It's best to go to the website, and it's on the sfcatholic.org website. You can find it there under Stewardship Conference.
Okay.
However, if you have difficulties online, always, always give us a call directly at 988-3788.
Okay.
And we can help you that way as well.
And that's the Catholic Community Foundation number.
It is.
And that's how you can get more information. We'll give that again when we wrap up in just a few minutes. Melinda, is there an overall goal that when this is all done, you want to say, boy, we did it. We got there. What do you think? Maybe I'll ask both of you that question.
That's a great question. You know, I think with any conference, the ultimate goal is that we inspire them to go back and be on fire. And it's hard to say a specific goal because every parish is a little bit different in their needs. But I would say if we can plant a seed and ignite that fire within people to want to make a difference, we can help them continue the journey.
There's goals for various people that might attend because of just what they're doing. For priests, deacons, it's probably the goal I would see is that it's really not that complicated to get it started. And I think they're going to find, even in smaller parishes, people really do want to get involved, even the younger people, if we just give them the opportunities. I think sometimes we think because people are so busy or young people are doing so many things that, will they really want this? Well, if we really are excited about it ourselves as priests and deacons, people get excited about it too because they see, hey, this is something important and they want to get involved with it. And they want to use their time and their talent to get it done. So that goal for the priests, and I think as people come to it, that it's exciting for them to see that there are possibilities that sometimes they even in parishes, they might sense that it's just not going so well, that they can do things to make things better for people to get attracted to come.
Do you think, you've been around long enough to answer this, Father Chuck, I remember the days when, and you grew up in a small town like I did, the parish was the organizing principle. It just happened because that's where it was. And it seems like we've lost some of that. Is this a way to kind of help us rejuvenate that idea?
Yes, I think that is it's one of the ways that can make it happen, and I think it's not like a program or a strategy that's going to help. It's really as we said at the beginning, when people start having this relationship with the Lord, they want to share their discipleship, and it really starts there. And so, it's really the beginning of getting people excited about that relationship with Christ that they want to share as disciples of Christ to other people.
Mm-hmm. And Melinda, does that resonate?
It does. You know, stewardship is a journey. It's not anything that's ever done or you cross the finish line on. And I think what is the challenge is a lot of people don't know where to begin or how to get started. There's tools out there. There's people out there. And just the basics of that prayer life, that foundation of being in relationship with Jesus. So it's going to be an event where we'll connect people, will help start that idea and will help continue the journey along the way. And the resources are there, and we're here to help you.
I think it's so important that you both talked about this at the beginning, but just to really emphasize this, this is really a step back from what we may have thought we understood about stewardship. This isn't about money. I just don't think we can say that enough, because mm-hmm. I think so often that's where people just stop. They don't hear it. They don't hear anything beyond that. To understand, this is about so much more than that.
It is. And, you know, like with everything, it does come back to money eventually, because God calls us to be more. He calls us to do more. He calls us to listen to what he wants. Thy will be done, right? Mm-hmm. And what in our life is holding us back from that? So in any essence, it always comes back to, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? And how should I respond? So there are pieces, I don't want to mislead anybody, because there are pieces within this conference that really focus on that.
Sure.
And, you know, a couple of them are increasing your weekly offertory. A lot of parishes struggle with that because they don't meet their budget. So mm-hmm. how can we, in a spiritual context, inspire these people to listen to God's call and how he's asking them to give? Another one is talking about capital campaigns. Parishes out there think that they need to do it and don't know where to start. So there are panel discussions and pieces that will focus on the money side of thing.
Right. The
practical, if you will.
You right. need some of both.
Right. But it all comes down to being in relationship and listening to that call as a disciple.
Okay. So again, for pastors, having both of those elements is probably very helpful.
Oh, yes, very, very much so. And it's like, you know, we're human beings too. And just think how most of us give our resources to not just the church, but to other things. What do we give mm-hmm. money to? Well, we give money to things that we like and we're excited about, or we see that's a great cause. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we haven't really emphasized that part in the church enough. This is something when people get excited about it, you don't really have to talk much about money, because it comes right from them, from the heart, because it's something they want to do, rather than being forced into it, because we know that doesn't go very far. In any giving we give, if we feel forced into giving to something,
yep.
we usually don't come with a very good attitude about it. But when we see something that there's a need and we say, hey, this is great, I want to be part of it, we write a check. We say, hey, that's an important part. I want to be part of that in my life and my family's life.
Well, all the things we've talked about this morning, you can learn more about on the website. Again, the Disciples Response is the name of the conference. It's coming up July 26th and 27th. Melinda, again, registration, easiest done through?
The website at sfcatholic.org and then /stewardship conference.
Okay.
Or give us a call directly. And I'm giving the foundation number because I can't remember all of the numbers, but 988-3788 if you need more information.
And we'll make sure and get you to the right spot. Linda North, Father Chuck Semple, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you'll get a chance to check out the stewardship information on the website, as we mentioned. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you next Sunday.